March 3rd, 2020, at 9 a.m. And in attendance are Senator Hughes, Senator Begich, and myself, Stevens. Senator Coghill has the bill he's defending right now, and Senator Costello is out for medical reasons. But we do have a quorum for conducting business. Today we're going to take up confirmation hearings for appointees to the Alaska State Board of Education or Development. Then we'll take up House Bill 109, sponsored by Representative Ledoux, relating to school registration for the children of military families. Any questions or comments before we start? Well, thank you. Let's go ahead then. We have two appointees who will be joining us, Keith Hamilton from Soldotna and Laurie Van Deest of Palmer. And do we have either of them online?
Good morning. This is Laurie.
Good morning, Laurie. Hold on just a minute, and we're waiting for Dr. Hamilton as well. Take a brief at ease.
Do I have resumes in here?
Committee, back to order. We have two appointees ready to be dealing with today. Keith Hamilton, he's in Mexico and having trouble contacting us, and then Laurie Van Deest from Palmer. So, Laurie, let's move ahead with you, and please ask you to offer a brief introduction about yourself, including, if you will, personal background, what you bring to the State Board, why you're interested in serving, and what goals you may have to improve our educational system here in Alaska. So let's begin. Ms. Van Deest, a pleasure to have you with us. Please identify yourself for the record.
Good morning. My name is Laurie Van Deest, and I'm calling in from Palmer, Alaska. I was reappointed by Governor Dunleavy to the 3rd Judicial District seat for the Board of Education and Early Development. Previously, I served the remaining 2 years of Mr. Harmon's term after being appointed by Governor Walker. As a lifelong Alaskan who grew up in Seward, I chose to follow my dad's footsteps and join the teaching profession. I earned a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics with a teaching credential from Seattle Pacific University and began my first teaching job at Seward High School, where I had graduated. It was a very rewarding experience to teach students whom I babysat in my earlier years. After getting married, I moved to the Matsu Valley and was part of the original staff who opened Colony High School. During my 11 years at Colony High School, I taught math, became a secondary guidance counselor, and coached girls basketball. Later, I transferred to Teeland Middle School and was the lead counselor who helped open this new school. I spent my last 6 years in the Matsu District Office working as the curriculum coordinator. I had the pleasure of being an integral player on our curriculum team, which established a district curriculum review cycle and developed guidelines for the curriculum review steps. My job was to facilitate teacher leaders in updating and writing content area standards and selecting the classroom materials to assist in teaching those standards. In 2010, I retired from the Matsu Borough School District to become a full-time teacher to my 3 children. 4 years ago, I became a substitute guidance counselor, filling in for secondary counselors who were absent from 1 day to several weeks. Currently, I am an elementary counselor at a high-need Title I school in the Matsu. Having boots on the ground in a local school gives me direct insight into the daily workings of a school. This perspective is what I bring to the State Board. I've spent the majority of my career in public education as a classroom teacher, guidance counselor, coach, and curriculum coordinator. My lens and focus has been and continues to be the safety, health, and well-being of our students. Our children must feel safe in their school environment and have a connection to their school. Establishing relationships and building connections between students and staff is a critical component to the safety and well-being of our students. Without students feeling safe and connected, the learning of reading, writing, and mathematics doesn't happen very well. After I was seated on the State Board of Education, I learned about the development work of Alaska's Education Challenge. I was pleasantly surprised to find one of the five trajectories of this challenge stating, improve the safety and well-being of students through school partnerships with families, communities, and tribes. Along with the safety component, the other four areas are support all students to read at grade level by the end of third grade, increase career, technical, and culturally relevant education to meet student and workforce needs, close the achievement gap by ensuring equitable educational rigor and resources, prepare, attract, and retain effective education professionals. The State Board adopted Alaska's Education Challenge, and this framework has guided our work. We have directed the Commissioner to focus the efforts of DEED on the components of Alaska's Education Challenge. We believe that all our 128,800 students deserve an excellent education every day. I have seen current legislation which corresponds to the goals of Alaska's Education Challenge. Senate Bill 6, the Alaska Reads Act, sponsored by Senator Baggage, has given all Alaskans hope that our children can achieve the goal of reading by the end of third grade. And Senate Bill 136 on tribal compacting, sponsored by Senator Stevens, is a clear conversation starter on the priorities that many Alaskans want to see in our education system. These bills, along with others, show direct ties to the strategic priorities of Alaska's Education Challenge. As I think about the opportunity to serve on the State Board for another term, I want to continue with the strategic work the Board has adopted. I am currently the Regulations Committee Chair, and we have been reviewing the education regulations one by one. Our committee hears from the DEED staff on the regulation specifics, and together we determine if a regulation needs to remain as it is, be revised, or be removed. When our stakeholders express a need for a regulation change, the regulation committee reviews it and makes recommendations to the board. The revised regulation then goes through the process of being reviewed by all stakeholders prior to being considered for adoption. My goals for the education future of our state are aligned with the framework of Alaska's Education Challenge and our system of school success. The indicators outlined in the Every Student Succeeds Act dovetail nicely with Alaska's Education Challenge. I want to see our proficiency rate increase in grade 3 language arts. I want to see continued academic growth and academic achievement in English language arts and mathematics. The components in the Alaska Reads Act are geared toward increasing our students' reading achievement and performance, particularly at pre-K through grade 3. I want to see our graduation rate increase from 80% to be higher. And I want to see our chronic absenteeism decrease from 29%. In addition to the student goals, I want to see our university system graduate more and more Alaskan teachers. We have a teacher shortage in our state, and in order for our children's education to be successful, we need teachers. And once we get those teachers, we have to keep them. In addition to supporting the goals and indicators of Alaska's Education Challenge, I want to work to support stable and affordable funding of education with the fiscal discipline of those funds. For example, through the work of the State Board's Regulation Committee, we are looking to undo regulatory restraints on districts in the hopes to allow for flexibility within state and federal laws and spending practices. The passage of a sustainable, predictable, and affordable budget is critical to demonstrating our collective commitment to Alaska students. The State Board will continue to use Alaska's Education Challenge strategic plan to help us focus our efforts and navigate this challenging time in our state. Navigating the challenges while remaining true to our core values is a deliberate and cooperative task for all Alaskans to tackle together. I am excited about my opportunity to continue my service as a member of the Board of Education and Early Development. Working with Commissioner Johnson, Deputy Commissioner Moline, and the DEED staff has been remarkable. They are dedicated to DEED's vision of ensuring all students succeed in their education and work, shape worthwhile and satisfying lives for themselves, exemplify the best values of society, and be effective in improving the character and quality of the world about them. Thank you for considering my appointment to this board.
Thank you very much, Laurie. We certainly appreciate your years of dedicated service to the children of Alaska and to our schools. And you have answered my questions about what you intend to do to improve education in Alaska. I appreciate that. Very thorough response. Any questions or comments from members? Yes, Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you also for your service. The one of the questions that and also just a quick point that the READS Act is more than just my bill, the co-sponsorship of my bill, more than just the sponsorship of my bill. It's also in partnership with the governor. There's elements from Senator Hughes's work, from Senator Stevens's work, and Senator Costello's work on there too, and I just want to make sure that they always get a shout out for the work that they've done. My first question just relates to something you just mentioned, and could you go into a little bit more detail of the regulatory changes that you guys are looking at? Because I'm curious about that.
Yes, through the chair, Senator Begich, on our regulatory changes that we have been working through, we have been spending quite a bit of time in Chapter 12, that is the certification of teachers. And so going through the regulations one by one, we have worked very closely with Sandra Meredith, who is the director of that piece over in DEED, and trying to find alternative pathways for certification that also meet the needs of our students as well as meet the needs of our teachers. And so I believe that we have one regulatory change that is coming before the board to be considered for the first reading so we can hear from our stakeholders. That's going to be at the end of March. And I don't have that in front of me, sir, but I would be happy to. I'm at home right now, so I can run, get it quick, and talk to you about that. But I don't remember the exact particulars on that. But through our regulatory changes, we're trying to decrease, if you will, the amount of regulations that are there that are seem to be prohibitive to the school districts, as well as make changes to the ones that will give them more flexibility in hiring teachers and that sort.
I just, if I could follow up.
Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And what I'm looking for here, I guess, Member Van Diest, is, you know, you talked, when you were talking about the regulatory changes, you were talking about ways to save resources or become more efficient for a school district. Pathways to certification just raises a tiny bit of a red flag to me in terms of I would be interested in seeing what you're looking at, because what I don't want to do is lower the standards we have for the teachers we would certify. If the battle is to fight to instruct our students, I'm just maybe give me a little more guidance on that.
Through the chair, Senator Begich, I absolutely hear you and am in total agreement with not lowering the bar on certification for teachers. On our regulation committee, we also have Sandy Kowalski, who has been a teacher, a principal, as well as assistant superintendent in the Fairbanks School District. And so we are cognizant of that all of the time when we're looking at certification. I think what we're trying to do with that is, knowing that we have a teacher shortage in our state, it's hard to retain teachers. If the committee wants to take a brief at ease, I can pull my notes from that last regulatory committee and talk specifically about the emergency certification that we had discussed.
Thank you. Senator Begich.
I find your comments reassuring, and so I don't think that's necessary. And, you know, we'll, okay. I think we'll be looking at that information later anyway, and as I look over at the department nodding their heads. And but that brings me to maybe a more philosophical question. As a board member, what, you know, we've had some presentations here that have been rather disturbing about the university's ability to produce teachers. We've had some, you know, real spirited conversations about what does it take to produce teachers in the state of Alaska. And as a board member, what are some of the things that, if I could give you kind of a softball, open-ended question, what are some of the things you're looking at to, as a board and as a member of the board, in terms of trying to address that teacher shortage more directly with the university? You mentioned them in your comments, and also just in terms of your discussions with the board. How can we get more teachers in the state of Alaska is what I'm getting to, and what is the board's position on, and your position on that?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, one of my main concerns is teacher training and retention. And as I said in my opening statement, Alaska needs high-quality teachers who want to remain in Alaska and make it their home. And I know that you guys have heard from your rural colleagues and constituents, it's difficult to retain Alaskan educators in our rural school districts. And so, to be totally honest with you, I think that what would help some is to have our state board be connected with the Board of Regents for UA. We used to, well, not since I've been on the board in the last 2 years, but we used to have meetings collectively together so that we could talk about the university issues. I know when UAA lost their teacher certification, it was just heartbreaking for me to realize what had happened, because they were trying to become one of our main teacher schools in the state of Alaska. And so I would love to be able to say that if we do X, Y, and Z, here we go, we're ready to keep teachers, we're ready to have our university system produce the teachers. Just to give you an example, I recently completed a week in Juneau last week with my daughter, and we did the close-up experience. And many of the other students were rural students from some of our smaller villages. And they talked about how many of them had teachers that sometimes didn't even finish the whole school year. And so how can we have teachers that are out there? We need those young students that were there at that close-up experience to want to be a teacher and to go back and teach in their village. And I actually think that our tribal compacting conversations that Senator Stevens has helped us introduce with the Senate Bill 136 can help with that.
I appreciate that answer very much, and I think it's a great suggestion, Mr. Chairman, for the board and the of regents and the school board to meet. I have one more, but I'll defer to Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Hughes.
And it's actually on that point, because my understanding, and I don't know if you can speak to this, Lori, but my understanding is that the State Board of Education has actually reached out to University Board of Regents to have a joint meeting, and there seems to be problems making that happen. I guess I would ask, and this may go to the State Board of Education president, that if that continues to be a problem, that we might want to consider, Mr. Chair, requiring those joint meetings, particularly during this time of the teacher shortage and the need for improved training to make sure our students are mastering outcomes and to and help with the retention factor. Because as I got a lot of great feedback during our SB6 hearing, that when students are learning and mastering, it's very satisfying for teachers, and that's one of the things that helps with retention. So it's all woven together, and I think the conversation and what Senator Begich brought up about
the State Board of Education meeting regularly with the Board of Regents is important, and if that continues, if there seems to be any hesitation or pushback from that, that might be something that we as a body consider requiring, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. We know the future is not very bright when throughout the United States we're having a shortage of teachers, and we know that many people come to teach in Alaska for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years, and then go elsewhere because of the retirement system. So maybe that's the elephant in the room, or maybe the brown bear in the room, that we have got to address the paying of teachers. Would you have any response or any reflection on that issue, Lori? I'm speaking directly about the retirement system.
Chair Stevens, I was very fortunate when I began teaching in 1988 in our state that I got to be part of the Tier 1 system. And I know that many of my colleagues are part of the Tier 2 system. I think I made it just under the wire to be part of Tier 1. And from what I've heard from, I'm thinking about the young teachers in the building that I'm currently in, the retirement system is not good, according to them. And I know there has been conversation with the NEA about involving Social Security. I don't know all of the ins and outs of that, and I'm not particularly up on the teacher retirement system at Tier 3. But from what I've heard from the younger teachers, they are concerned about retirement. Our salaries in the state used to be the highest, and they're not any longer. And so maybe that might have something to do with that. And this is a tough area to be in Alaska, especially if you are away from your family and you need to travel, you know, down south at Christmas time and over the summer holiday and, you know, all of those kinds of things. I think especially for the teachers that are out in rural Alaska and that are at places that are not on the road system. So I don't have a direct answer for you, Senator Stevens, but I'm just giving you my thoughts right off the top of my head.
Well, thank you so much, Lori. I appreciate your thoughts. They're valuable for us to hear. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one last question, but I do want to remind you that you had mentioned in the joint meeting with House and Senate when the board was presenting with the commissioner, and I agree with this, that the board ought to meet more often. It ought to take on more of this role, and that my understanding is that the board – part of the reason they requested that increment was to meet with the Board of Regents. So that's something we should continue to pursue. But my last question, since you're on the regs, you chair the Regulations Committee, and you've mentioned the READS Act a number of times, one of the keys to the READS Act is a lot of regulation has to be done, and we've had testimony in other committees about how long regulations take to write. Are you doing – it's always premature to hope a piece of legislation might pass, but is there any – preliminary work going on with the board right now to prep, should the bill pass, for the requirement of the various regulations it would require? Because obviously the more rapidly we're up to speed on that, the easier it will be. So is there already some preliminary discussion on that happening?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, yes, there has been some work that has started already within Deed and with them forming teams and knowing that should that bill pass, how can we quickly get that implemented. And so in terms of our regulation committee, we at our last meeting that we had here at the end of February, we do know that there is going to be a tremendous amount of work through regulation that will have to happen with the bill. And so there is drafts that are being started already, I would say, by the expertise. And I know that maybe that might be the wrong thing to say because the bill has not passed. But the bill does come with a date that says that we need to be ready to rock and roll with this. So I would say that, yes, there has been things that have happened. DEED is currently aligning teams now and preparing for the work ahead should the bill pass. And so we know this is going to be a heavy lift, but we're definitely committed to successfully implementing this bill and involving our stakeholders. It's not going to be all about the DEED staff and the State Board of Education. We absolutely have to have our superintendents and our principals and our teachers and our reading specialists that will need to be hired should the bill pass. They all need to be on board and help us draft what these regulations say and what they are able to implement in each school district.
Thank you, Lori. I appreciate your candor and your answers very much.
Thank you very much, Lori. I don't see any other questions. If you'd hang on for a while, we are going to be speaking with Dr. Hamilton, and then there'll be a motion after that to confirm these two names that are before us today. So, again, thank you very much, Lori Van Diest. Now, let's move on then to Dr. Hamilton. Are you there, Keith?
I am.
Thank you for being with us, and I understand you're in Mexico.
Yes, sir, but 150 miles from any beach, so don't think that I'm on vacation.
Okay. So you may not have heard the comments I made at the beginning, which is to ask you to give a brief introduction of yourself, personal background, what you bring to the board, why you're interested in serving, and finally, any goals you may have to improve the educational system here in Alaska. So please put yourself on the record, if you would, Dr. Hamilton.
My name is Dr. Keith Hamilton. I currently serve as the vice chair on the DEED board. I am a fairly new to Alaska, just 19 years. And my family resides in Soldotna, the fishing capital of Alaska. I am really excited to tell you I'm coming around my 20th year as serving as the president of Alaska Christian College. We are a Alaska Native serving post-secondary accredited college that reaches out especially to the farther edges of Alaska to allow students to have a shot at higher education after high school, and very much a Native serving context. Just passed over 100 students this past year, 90% of them Alaska Native, about 5% lower 48, American Indian, and then the rest of them Caucasian, and even a student from Tonga, believe it or not. And so we do have a lot of experience with students coming in from rural Alaska and the challenges, and even some of the barriers that they've experienced, maybe perhaps through their educational pursuit. We try to hit that head on at the college. Many of the issues related to the Alaska Education Challenge and related to our educational pursuits as a state are close to our hearts, as we see about 90% of our students walk in the door with developmental classroom and curriculum to get them up to college level. And we have a strong team and a large student success center that helps them to get there. We're graduating our largest class this year of 15 students in our four different associate in arts degrees. I want to add that my wife, Debbie, is on our team as well as the executive director of New Hope Counseling Center, and serves all of those Alaska Native students with the ACE scores and the trauma that they have experienced perhaps coming in and joining us at the college. And we take that as a big part of the whole life approach that we have to students coming from rural Alaska. I just want to share also, I serve on as a commissioner on the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. I've been a commissioner for 5 years. They have just renewed me for this next round, and I'm glad for that because it really is my role as a college president to connect the K-12 with what we're happening over at ACPE. And my role in both of those was a desire of Governor Parnell, and I was first asked if I would consider joining the State Board of Education to kind of be that liaison between the two very, very large, important educational groups in our state, and I readily said yes. It was actually Governor Walker then who appointed me through the confirmation hearing process, And now Governor Dunleavy asked me to come back for another five-year term. I've also served on joint meeting as a part of the subcommittee from the State Board to the University of Alaska for a couple of years. I, over the phone as well as in person, while we were still having in-person meetings with the university, was able to be the point of contact between DEED Board and the University Board of Regents, who sat on that committee with me as well. I'm also on the State Personnel Committee. That's been 8 years, three of us that serve the state in that way. So I really am committed to our state, to having a healthy state, an educated state, and a state that reaches all Alaskans. I also want to add to that, I'm involved in various local faith-based community organizations on the Kenai Peninsula and social service organizations as well. Deb and I both just love serving our state. To add from there, I do bring a lot of experience, as I mentioned, in those specific areas of education. My hope is that if I am brought back for another 5 years, that I would be consistently helping the Alaska Educational Challenge to be all that it could be. It took a year plus of hard work among many Alaskans, hundreds of Alaskans. And even though the progress isn't as fast as maybe every one of us would like to see, I truly believe that are continuing to take that plan and not put it on the shelf, but make it every day usable for the folks in the office at DEED as well as our board as we continue to refer back to it for the specific things that it brings to the overall picture of education in Alaska. I believe it's critical and continue to work toward that. I've been involved in a couple of major things in the last 5 years that I'll share. The Alaska peaks are testing. You know, we had quite a horrible situation 3 years ago with our testing company, and we've been able to see that turn around and now have consistent testing within our state the last few years. I've been a part of the Safety and Well-Being Subcommittee also on the Alaska Education Challenge as we divided us all up into wonderful committees that got down to the day-to-day and to the 1,000 level instead of just the 30,000-foot level. I was involved in every Student Succeeds Act. We had to go through the whole process of our state being approved. When No Left Behind was left behind, and we were able to step forward into that whole new federal opportunity. I'm really hoping that SB 6 becomes a law for us. I know there's amendments that are still going to be brought forward, and I want to thank the governor and the Senate and the House for really putting together a comprehensive, I believe, package to get us to a new level in our state as we continue to desire our students to succeed and our scores to soar. I also have been looking back again at our recent graduation rates and realizing we are continuing on a good climb in that direction. Since we got rid of our state qualifying exam, I was nervous about where that would take us, and we continue to see, though, a progress there that is positive and momentum of growth that is happening. I really believe that the issue with ACEs across our state, we have our students take that little test as well, and the trauma-informed practices that are happening in our schools are critical. We see so much of that at the college level. It's almost unbearable, some of the stories and the statistics that we read about that. And I'm hoping that we can continue to make that a priority through SB6 and the other areas as well, as retention has been a discussion item. I'm aware of that, and I do have an opinion there. But I also want to add that it's really critical that our current team on the State Board of Education, we continue. We have been back and forth with a number of people, and we really have a solid base now of folks that are fairly new, who have got extreme experience, like Member Van Dees just shared. And we would really love to see some consistency on our board to carry us really through without changing up the guard every year. And I hope that's a part of our discussion today as well, the critical nature of having momentum among our board. I also will say that I am a little bit on the side of, I think Senator Stevens mentioned in the prior hearing, that it's really difficult for us to do business as a board when we see each other maybe once or twice a year, when we have so much that is on our plate to put together. It's frustrating to think that we're, you know, being asked to do a pretty monumental job, and, you know, where the Board of Mount Edge come, and we haven't seen them for three years, I believe, 2 to 3 years. We have many face-to-face things we're required to do that we get together for, and all of our time is taken up in some maintenance needs as well as things that just have to happen. I believe face-to-face and 2 meetings a year isn't allowing us to be able to do that. There's really no time for dreaming and scheming, I might say, as we move ahead as a board. So I hope that that's also a part of our near future so we can work together more collaboratively. But the final thing I'll say, and I'll be glad to take questions, is that here in Alaska, the challenges are enormous. We all know that. We look at our numbers. We look at our fiscal note. We have issues nationwide that impact us. I'm really a local control guy, and I'm hoping that we can continue to give as much as we can back to the local school districts and to tribal compacting, perhaps different things that are going to allow us to really move forward as a state that isn't going to be squelched by what's happening outside of Alaska, but that we stand together with our people, local control, making things happen that are best so that every student can succeed every day. And with that, I'll take any questions if you have them.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hamilton. Always great to have a chance to chat with you and learn what you've been doing for the last almost 20 years here in Alaska. We appreciate all of your service and the service to the board. The only thing I might quibble with is, your comment on which community is the fishing capital of Alaska. But I know it's from your eyes, and so I'll accept that. Any questions of Dr. Hamilton? Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a comment. Dr. Hamilton, you mentioned that you're serving on both the post-secondary education and personnel boards, neither of which is in your document. So in the future, when submitting a document, please be sure to have those things listed. I would have probably done a little deeper dive. I appreciate your service, but I'm kind of known for nitpicking and looking at all the details on these resumes. So I just noted that they were not in your file. And I appreciate your service and your comments. And I really feel comfortable with your very short-term residency in the state.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Dr. Hamilton. Is there any public testimony at this time? I don't see any online. Anybody in the audience who cares to testify on these two candidates? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close this public testimony. No further questions from the committee. What is the will of committee, Senator Hughes, if you have a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the following name appointee to the Alaska Board of Education and Early Development be forwarded to a joint session of the legislature for consideration. Keith Hamilton of Soldotna, Lori Van Diest of Palmer.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that motion? Seeing and hearing none, then the motion passes. And for the record, just I need to say this, that this does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of these individuals during the joint session. Again, thank you very much, both of you, for being here. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the report. Senate Education Committee. Next, we'll take up House Bill 109. Intention today is to introduce the bill to the committee and hold it for further review. Representative Ledoux is here. She has a meeting, I know, on the floor of the House in a few minutes, so we'd appreciate any opening comments you have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Gabrielle Ledoux. I represent Muldoon and the Elmendorf portion of J-Bear, and with me is my Chief of Staff, Deneen Tuck. And House Bill 109, that's a residency waiver for military children. And what it means is that if you're in the military and you get your orders to transfer to Alaska, but you're not transferred by the time that school rolls around, the registration for school rolls around, then you'd be able to register your children in school anyway, just on the basis of those transfer papers. And we were asked to do this bill by the Department of Defense. apparently trying to get all of the states to do this bill or similar ones. And it's important to the military for the reason that if you wait until the parents and the children are actually here in order to register, sometimes the classes necessary for graduation are closed. Sometimes the electives are closed. Sometimes if you're trying to get into charter schools through lottery, those are already closed. So it just makes sense to allow people who are coming here, and you know they're coming here because they already have their orders, to register the kids before they get here. And that's about it.
Thank you, Regent Ledoux. So this came about because of a request by the Department of Defense. Can you tell me, is this really a problem in Alaska? Have you any anecdotal information that students have been denied entrance to classes?
I know they haven't been in the Anchorage school district. But nevertheless, we have a letter of support from Dina Bishop, from the superintendent of schools in Anchorage, supporting the bill. So, no, I can't say that it's necessarily happened, but it would be nice to make sure that it doesn't happen.
I understand. Very nice. Thank you for the question. Senator Hughes.
I appreciate you bringing this forward, Representative Ledoux. The one question I have, and I don't know how often, I just don't want to cause a problem, particularly when you think of juniors and seniors in high school who have a certain number of courses and credits they need in order to graduate. Would there ever be a situation where a student might come up ahead of the parents to be there for the first day of school or the first day of a new semester, and the 10-day requirement for the proof of residency, student might actually be staying with a relative who happens to live in Alaska or with another military family, just so they're starting on day one, and then it might be difficult for the to get the proof of residence because the residence is defined as the principal dwelling place of an active duty parent or guardian. And I'm just wondering if that's a problem, if it should be the residence meaning the principal dwelling place of an act student, you know, rather than the parent. I'm just don't know if that had ever come up, but I know if I were in that situation and I would, and if there would be a week or two delay, I'd like to, and I had a place for my high school student, I might send them ahead. So I know it's sort of an off chance, rare circumstance, but is there any provision, or are you concerned about that?
You know, you're the first person that's actually brought that up, so I guess I'm trying to think that because under this bill, they'd be able to register where the parents are going to be anyway. I guess I don't see that it would really be a problem. I mean, so in other words, let's say they've come up and they're staying with somebody in Eagle River, but the parents are going to be living in Muldoon, for example. Why they wouldn't be able to go to Bartlett, because that's the principal residence of their parents.
Well, thank you, Representative. I think Ms. Tuck may have some response as well.
Deneen Tuck, Chief of Staff for Representative Ledoux. We did discuss some of this a little bit, but not to the exact question in Military and Veterans Affairs. And Representative, that's why we put in guardian, so that if a student was sent up early and was staying with somebody else, they would have like a power of attorney that would help for the child if for the 2 weeks or so. But the actual event of the child coming up early was never discussed. It was only discussed to put in the guardian, so that if a child was staying with someone other than the parent, that would be covered.
Thank you, Ms. Tuck. Senator Hughes?
Yeah, I guess that would actually take care of it. And they wouldn't have any problem registering. It would just be that providing proof of residence was the concern. And I'm sure as members of the military, they'd want to comply with state law. So I guess the guardian, thank you for pointing that out.
And also, you've got to provide your proof of residence, you know, once you're already there and enrolled.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Begich.
Just two questions. I think you answered the first one already, Representative Ledoux, through the chair. We don't have an actual number of students that this would affect, or the number who might take advantage of the statute. We really don't know that at this point.
I don't.
Okay, that's actually, it's good policy and it should be supported. My question is kind of an odd one, but does the definition of residency then qualify for potentially a couple of weeks early a student potentially to receive a dividend check?
I know the answer to that question because you're not the first person who's asked it. No.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have no further questions.
Thank you, Senator Begich. So I appreciate introducing the bill. We were to have Tammy Perot online, but unfortunately she is not with us as of yet.
No, she called in and she said she wasn't going to be able to.
Hopefully we get a chance to hear from her. She's the Northwest Region Liaison from Department of Defense. And, okay, thank you very much. Is there any public testimony at this time? I just point out that we will hold this and take it up at a later date. Representative Ledoux.
Yeah, I was just going to say we do have a letter from Ms. Perot that's in that you have in front of you.
Thank you. Just to remind folks that even though no one is here to speak a public testimony at this point, we'll hold written and public testimony open until our next meeting on this bill. A written testimony can be submitted any time by emailing senate.education@aklag.gov. Any closing comments from the committee? Thank you all very much. At this point, we're adjourned.